Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started.
Welcome into the Classic Series Redrive, episode number 91. Mark Hosteller here in Southern Michigan, joined today by Kyle Forsythe in Menin, Idaho, also Logan Reinhold in the Reinhold Tech and Western Wear Studios, making us sound good. We are also joined today by Brenda Bowling, the Executive Secretary of the Classic Series, and also the President of the Classic Series, Doyle Dingman, who will be giving us a brief update here shortly. How's everything in Idaho, Kyle?
Yeah, everything's good. Spring, kind of spring. It's still a few odd cold days, but for the most part, things are starting to turn green, and lots of outside jobs when the snow all melts that you see that you have to do. So that's always kind of nice. We got home from Arizona a couple weeks ago and kind of on the give the horses a break mode, and all the things that have been neglected all winter when we were busy showing, starting to kind of tackle those jobs.
Yep, there you are. Well, the last time we did this, we had good feedback hearing from Brendan Doyle themselves on current events of the Classic Series and kind of things that the board's working on and kind of dealing with right now. So I'm just going to turn it over to you guys, and you guys can talk for however long you want to talk, and we'll sit here and listen for a change.
How's your bracket look, Doyle?
You're breaking up. My boys Houston are still in the game, and that's about the only hope I got at this point. And that got a little shaky last night.
You were the homer that picked the old home team Sparty to go to the Final Four, weren't you?
No. I might have fibbed a little bit on that deal.
I was gonna say,
I got them right where they should have ended up.
If you pick Michigan State to go to the Final Four, you deserve to get smoked in practice.
I had a lot of people believing that, though. I guess Mark had contacted us about what I call is the State of the Classic Series address. We did one last year. Had a lot of good comments about it, and you hear a lot of things from Mark and Kyle and the rest of the participants on the podcast, which has been a great thing for the Classic Series. Continues to be a great thing, and people love it. I mean, I haven't heard any negative comments regarding it, but the Classic Series continues to grow. The membership is growing. The participating shows are growing, and maybe what's even more gratifying than any, the spectators at the participating shows continues to increase, crowds increase, and we're certainly doing everything on our part that we can as a Classic Series board to continue those increases. And I guess one thing that I would really like to do is thank a lot of people who make this Classic Series run, operate, and function the way it does. And probably the largest thanks goes out to our membership. The membership continues to grow. Even though I know we all watch Facebook, we listen to Facebook, and the Facebook warriors last fall was, man, this guy's quitting, this outfit won't show anymore. Are we going to be out of hitches? And I think every time we turn around, we see a new hitch, paying a membership, hitting the road, going to be at shows this summer. And that's a great thing. The other thing that we really need to show our gratification to are the participating shows. And I know a lot of the smaller shows, in fact, a lot of the bigger shows have struggled with coming up with premium monies for the increased premiums that we put into place a couple, 3 years ago. But we've gotten over that hump. And thank you, member shows, for sticking with us. We do the best we can sticking with you, and we're going to continue to try to increase membership spectators at your shows, because whether we like it or not, the people that come through the gate and pay the fee to watch are the people who support all shows. And another thanks that I want to put out is to the board of directors that you have. We have, and a lot of you should know, but I'll repeat that again. Colleen Coleman is our Canadian director this time. Colleen is just getting her feet wet, but she's jumping in head over heels to help this thing move along. We're working on new programs while we're continuing to refine and glean the old programs. There's always something going on. The board meets once every month religiously, and we have special meetings when the issues exist, and we try to handle everything as quickly as we possibly can to get the answers that we can out to the people that have the questions. And maybe the biggest thanks of all should go to Brenda. Brenda does a terrific job operating this thing for us. Brenda makes the rest of us look pretty darn good. She keeps things handled. Whenever there's a question, it's actually comes to the board, and it comes to the board in a timely manner, so we can get things handled. And I know it's kind of a cop-out term, but we try to get things put to bed as quickly as possible. A new program that we have talked about, and we hope to maybe refine and get it in action, is what we call a subscriber membership to the Classic Series. And a subscriber membership would be a reduced membership dues. We've thrown out maybe half what the voting membership is now. These folks would have, they would be non-voting members, but these folks would be entitled to a newsletter, and we don't, trust me, we don't have the details all worked out, but maybe on a quarterly basis, and at minimum, possibly to, if nothing less, kind of give an update of the points, what's going on, and more importantly, the upcoming shows, so that they could get an email, and it would all be email contact to avoid, you know, the cost of mailing and the timeliness of mailing. But we have thrown, we've thrown that idea around. I think the idea will come to light, and we don't have confirmation from all of the 5% discount sponsors that we have, but I do have confirmation from a couple of them that yes, the 5% discount that Classic Series members gets at like Penwood's Feeds, Shipshawana Harness, they would be more than happy to extend that 5% discount to subscription or subscriber members. So, you know, we're on the verge. We just got done with the great shows that were put on in the West. The Florida shows are behind us. And now as everybody's kind of sitting back, they're retooling. Horses are getting rested, but I'm sure that people start driving horses the next couple weeks, and just to get ready for a terrific summer and fall show season. We worked through, we changed the membership calendar to a calendar year basis and got it away from the September Labor Day due date. It was a struggle for Brenda in the start. I think it's going to work out okay, but then it's going to alleviate some question is, man, are my dues paid? Are my dues not paid? And it's just going to be a December 31st. Get your dues paid and move on. But I think I feel very comfortable with where the Classic Series is right now as an organization. I'm really, really excited about the youth participation that we have. That's another growing area. And if we can continue to grow that, the scholarship committee. They're doing a tremendous job. If we can continue to help them raise money and keep these young people interested, I think we've accomplished a major goal. So with that said, Brenda, if you'd like to jump in and add or correct or subtract, that's fine.
Thank you, Doyle. Just to build on what Doyle had shared, going back to the transition year with points, because it is a transition year, there are going to be a few hitches that do show on the points list that are not currently active members. Anybody who is not an active member, there is an asterisk before their name, and that is in bold, big letters on the website, but just wanted to call that out specifically. Just a reminder that you must be a member before you go into the class. I know we've just had a few shows, but this, you know, spring, but that has come up a couple of times. So just remember to renew your membership beforehand. If you're the show organizer, you can always send me all your list of entries, and I'd be happy to confirm whether they're a member or not, or else you can go onto the website, whatever's easiest for you. The shows have done a great job of getting registered. Within the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of activity. So just a reminder for any of those summer shows to please get registered with us. A reminder to members that to check the show listing before you go to the show. As shows are getting registered, look at that show, see what classes they're offering. Sometimes people get to a show expecting to maybe get, you know, a classic cart points, but that show never registered with us. So those classes are listed on the website. So check it before you go. Let me know if you have any questions. If you're a show that has questions on registering, please reach out. We're happy to walk you through that process. Talking a little bit about social media, we are always trying to promote shows, but we also want to promote the membership. So if you have any pictures or things that are going on, whether you're at the show or just home on your farms, please send those over, and we'd love to help promote the membership. For shows, we do have our kickoff meeting with the shows here in the next day. For shows, we are going to offer an extended social media post. If anybody is interested in doing that for a nominal fee, we'll help do a targeted post to promote your show. So that's something new that we are offering. Live stream, we get a lot of questions in the inbox about whether we're live streaming a show. Typically, we let the shows live stream so that we're not competing with what they're doing. So typically the rule of thumb is that we won't be live streaming, but we can tell you, you know, whether it's the show doing it or if, you know, if Albert or Blue Ribbon is there doing it, we let you know that. Show pass, again, going back to the memberships, a show pass can only be used one time. So just remember that if you're thinking you're going to go to two or three shows and you're opting not to be a member, it's going to save you money if you just get your membership and some headaches. And hopefully that's clear. And again, if there's shows that are confused about the show pass, please let me know. I think that's it from like the show stuff. To add on to what Doyle was talking about with the board, we're lucky that we have a very active, great group of board of directors. Just wanted to highlight the committees so that the membership knows who to contact should you have any questions or if you're interested in being on a subcommittee. The nominations committee is being led by Mark and Doyle. The bylaws committee is Carl Oddie and Tim Myers. our marketing and sponsorship committee. This is a big initiative. So we've got a large committee, but it's Doyle, Mark, Colleen, and Carl, all invested in that committee. Membership, Tim, Mark, and Colleen. Show committee is Mark and Colleen. Cart committee is Doyle and Carl. And just to add onto the cart committee, the central region, because of when their regional finals is always held, we always roll over points. So those rollover points have posted on the website. So when you check your point standings, check your total rollover points. If you think that there's a discrepancy, please let me know. And we did move the border. It's still being updated on the website, but the border for the regions, we moved central so that it includes Kansas as well. So that's in progress. And then the merchandise committee is Carl. And I know that the guys here on the podcast do a great job of letting everybody know to go onto our website to purchase that. And then obviously a very small portion of what we're doing is just all the planning for this year's finals at the MEC in Shipshewana. We have a great committee that's investing a lot of time to make this year's event another successful show. So we're busy, but if anybody has any ideas or there's things that you're interested in becoming more involved with, or if you have suggestions, you know, please send them in to us.
All right. You got any questions, Kyle?
Yeah, the only one thing I was just going to clarify with Brenda, and I think it's pretty important, and I know we talked a little bit about it today, Mark, on the phone, but I think it's important that even doing entries, if a show on your entry form, it might say that you entered a classic cart, but if that show didn't register the classic cart with the classic series, then you're not going to get points for that class. So just to clarify that, you know, I think it's very important that what the show registers with the classic series trumps what they have on their entry forms. So just really be aware of that and double check the website for sure.
Yeah, I would suggest when you're doing entries or when you're scrolling through your show season and seeing where you want to go to, and you see something on one of your shows that, you know, is not registered that you expect to be available at that show, maybe bring it to the show's attention and they can contact Brendan. Maybe we can work through some things, you know.
Right.
But yeah, to get to a show and then, you know, it's pretty black and white in the rules. You know, if you get to a show, you can't just add another six or six class or a classic cart class or something like that. If it's
well, just from my understanding, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, the intention of the rule is basically so shows can't just add classes as they want day of a class or when the show is going on or Labor Day weekend, point chase is tight. You can't just add a six or a six class to get somebody extra points. So that was kind of the intent of the rule. And also for secretary, makes it easier for Brenda as well to have everything registered. But that being said, if there's an honest mistake, sometimes too, if you catch it early when you're doing your entries and stuff, it can maybe be updated or changed before it becomes a problem.
Correct. And I would say very well said, Kyle. And you get down July, August, there are so many shows going on. And Brenda does a heck of a job, but you can't expect her to catch every error. And I'm going to say the benefit of the doubt that those probably are errors. And, you know, you kind of got to count on the membership. It takes a lot of help to make this machine run. And the more help you get, the more eyes you got on it. And yeah, you know, mistakes can be corrected, but you got to know in advance. So, with that said, yeah, everybody needs to kind of look through those things and make sure that they're entering what they think they entered.
So go to the show part on the website, is upcoming shows, and double check that what you're entering on your entries matches up with what's registered with the Classic Series on those classes. And that's true for the Classic Halter stuff too, I believe, right?
Yes.
It has to be registered on there as well. So, so there's a lot of things going on, and just make sure that, and if you have a question, I'm sure, about something, or if it's something's not adding up or lining up quite the way you see it on your entries, contact the show and or Brenda or somebody to help you out with it. Clarify it.
You bet. Anything else you two want to have, anything else, or
go ahead, Brenda.
I was just going to do another push for some upcoming deadlines. I know June sounds far away, but as I think we're only going to get busier between now and then. So just anybody who is looking to further their education after high school, just remember to apply for the Youth Scholarship Program. That deadline is June 15th. And it's a great program, and that committee works hard to kind of come up with a lot of great ideas, and they take a lot of time reviewing it. So just take the time to fill out the application, and the link to the online application is on the website too.
Well, and the cool thing about that too, Brenda, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can reapply every year that you're in post-secondary education, which is fantastic. So,
yep, absolutely. If anybody has any questions about that, Cassie Shaw does a, she's our youth secretary. She does a great job. So you can email Cassie, and she'd be happy to help walk you through it or answer any questions anybody has.
And I may have missed this, Brenda, but when you were going through the committee assignments, Tim Meyer is now the board member that's helping with the youth.
Correct.
Activities along with Cassie Shaw.
Yes. Yep, you're right.
Kevin Wilson did a tremendous job with that, and of course Kevin, his term expired to be on the board, and Tim had actually worked a little bit with Kevin prior to that, and Tim graciously accepted the position of helping with the youth.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Doyle. The other committee that we didn't talk about that that does a heck of a job is the Halter Committee, and Mark serves as the board representative on that committee.
Good point.
Brenda, Doyle, we appreciate you guys getting on with us and updating the membership on kind of the happenings, what's going on. And Doyle, your presidential address there rivaled some of the great speeches I've heard in a long time. So appreciate you getting on. And Brenda, this is a fantastic job as secretary. And
I was on mute, but I was clapping. I stood up and clapped a few times, Doyle, if that makes you feel better.
You don't know what that means to me, Mark.
No, appreciate you guys coming on.
As long as you didn't tear up the speed.
We appreciate
you guys doing this podcast. I know it takes a lot of time out of your days and evenings, but there are so many positive comments about the podcast. And for example, my wife, I mean, she gets in the car, she punches up the podcast. I think it's for the information. I don't think it's just to hear Mark and Kyle, but great job, guys, on doing these podcasts. And Logan, you do a great job editing these things also. I know it's been a challenge to get you to speak on air. Someday you will, but great job, guys, and thanks for the podcast.
Well, I had to guess Renee will fast forward through this portion.
The only problem with getting Logan to talk is he's going to edit it out. That's the frustrating part. He's got the keys to the machine, so he can do whatever he wants.
Oh, I never thought of that. Well.
But no, Logan does. He makes us sound good and keeps this whole thing rolling. So, yeah, thanks to Logan. And I enjoy doing it. And thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it. And thanks for you, too. You guys do a phenomenal job. I enjoy working with you guys. And you guys do a tremendous job in keeping everything organized.
And if I could just throw in one more thing, now that I got actually approval on the speech, we're going to need a couple nominations for board members coming at the end of this term. Not asking for them on this podcast, but you folks get your thinking caps on. We always need good board members. Need board members' terms expire, and just keep your thinking caps on, pass the names along, visit with the people yourselves, and then pass the names along. But keep your eye out for good more board members.
And that can be Canadians or Americans on this this election.
Yes, we have the quota filled. It can be, it says we have to have one from Canada at all times, and we do have that, and we have a good one. But board members at the next election can be from either country.
Very well. All right. Well, thank you guys again. And we'll catch up with you guys sometime this summer.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great evening, guys.
Well, thanks, Doyle and Brenda, for joining us. And just a few more notes here. Kyle, you were in for the Topeka Draft Horse sale there last week. And I mean, 2 weeks ago, what a tremendous sale they had. Another record broke with the all-time high selling Belgian mare, $110,000. Never Done Fires chip mare that Stanton Miller and Melissa Dolan had consigned. And Rick Welsh there in the TLA family ended up buying that mare. But overall, just a tremendous market.
Yeah, I thought Belgian mares especially were just unreal. I mean, just seemed like 40, 50,000 was pretty commonplace. And yeah, I thought the geldings, there was a nice selection of geldings too. I would say maybe as good a group of geldings as the spring sales had in a long time. And yeah, I really thought that the market overall was really strong. Even yearlings were kind of back to where people were buying them to take out, turn out, maybe grow up. So that was very positive.
Yeah, no, I thought so too. Yeah, some of them colts were being bought to raise up for future hitch geldings, because like you said, there was a strong gelding market. Gelding brought 65,000 that Mike and Missy Yoder had fit out for a guy that brought 65,000 that Lorab Dairy Farms bought.
And there was like some 17, 18. Cody Woodbury had a three-way Roger gelding that Wade Thornley bought.
Yeah.
3,000. Yeah, there was just a good, strong market. It wasn't... If you needed a horse, you could buy one, and it was going to be a good one, too.
Yeah, and on the Clyde side, you know, Dwayne Chupp rung the bell again there at Topeka, like he seems he does every spring and fall. Sold a mare for $30,000 to Chuck Kreiderman. And then you go on the Percheron side. There was a pretty nice Percheron gelding consigned there by a local consigner, Ray Wingard. And, you know, he brought $30,000. Express bought him. Express Ranches in Oklahoma there, so... Overall,
good for a guy like that too. I mean, he picked that horse up, I believe, out of Gordyville a year ago, and kept him for a year and kind of grew him up and got things right.
Yeah,
on
worked. Yeah, he worked him on the farm and got him broke and fit him up and brought him to Topeka and rang the bell with him. So yeah, you know, he's going to be looking for the next one like that again. So just helps the overall market. They sold a couple mares there for good money too, over $20,000, and I thought the Percher market was pretty strong as well. So kind of seeing an overall trend this spring, you know, just with the overall market of the draft horse in Harrisburg and at Gordyville and now at Topeka, just seems like the market's been strong. And speaking of sales, we have another sale coming up at the Midwest Select Sale in Madison. And I saw in the catalog, they had like 190 some head. So about 40 to 50 more, I believe, than the past few years. They've been right around that 140, 150 mark. So looks like they got quite a consignment. Eli Raber's having, they from Hazleton, Iowa's having a bit of a reduction sale, I guess, could cut down on some numbers a little bit. But just leafing through the catalog, it looks like there'll be a, you know, should be a pretty strong sale the way it looks to me.
April 4th and 5th, if you're looking to check that one out, but absolutely 190 plus cataloged horses, and looks like you say, Mark, looking through it, it looks like there's some pretty darn good ones. So
yeah, that's at the in Madison, Wisconsin there. But yeah, not much else. We got the whole rundown from Doyle and Brenda, like I said, and then also upcoming shows. We really don't have a whole lot going on. We have the show in your backyard there in Brandon going on right now. Then it'll be a little bit of a break.
25th to the 30th. So yeah, that looks promising. I don't think they have huge numbers, but I think they have a few sixes up there that are competing, and I think they have their paternity stuff up there too. Looks like there's a pretty good selection of colts that'll be sold at that. So if you're looking for a yearling to take back as a three-year-old, they got a pretty cool program up there for that. So
yeah. Isn't that like a called the NERIC program or something? Isn't that kind of government a little bit?
Yeah, it used to be. It was kind of set up, I think, originally for the PMU farmers wanted to enter up there, kind of as a promotional thing for their foals, and it's kind of carried on. I don't think it necessarily is you don't have to be a BMU ranch or anything to be a part of it anymore, but I don't believe. But yeah, it's kind of a neat deal, and it looks like they have, I think they get quite a few colts consigned. So yeah, check that out if you're interested in that. And believe there's pretty good prize money up for that. That's for sure. So, yeah. Other than that, I don't think there's any too much for news. We had a chance in Arizona to sit down the Brockoff family. They toured all the way from Pennsylvania to the two shows in Arizona, and got to sit down with Dale Tracy and Sarah and get their story. And just a real down home family. They show for the love of it, and just kind of neat to hear their story.
Yeah, they work hard and work hard at it. And it was quite a trip from Dayton, Pennsylvania to Phoenix, Arizona. It was a 4-day deal there. And yeah, just a great family and great people to show horses with. And like Kyle said, we had a chance to sit down with them and get their story, and a lot of fun chatting with them. Another thing on this episode, the Penwoods Perspective is back. Chris Cole is back to give a perspective on some of his minerals and just overall nutrition and horse health in general.
Yeah, definitely stick around for the Penwoods Perspective. I mean, it is awesome to sit and pick Chris's brain about mineral and feeding horses. And obviously we talk about some Penwoods products, but we just talk a lot about horse health. And there's a lot of valuable information there for sure.
Yeah, the really impressive thing, Kyle, is there's no notes. He just sits there and folds his arms and starts talking.
And I mean, he knows exactly how much percentage of protein and fat, and I mean, in every single product. And it's like, holy crap, this guy knows.
Yeah, you can come out of left field with a question, and he's got an answer, and he doesn't have to have any notes or anything. Yeah, he's quite a guy, and just a good guy to have on the Redrive podcast here to give a little bit of perspective on nutrition and mineral. So with all that being said, I believe that about wraps it up. Enjoy episode 91, and we'll see you guys down the road.
We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana Amish country, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
A 77, not a cloud in the sky, with the Brockoff family all the way from Pennsylvania to Arizona to show. What got you guys the motivation to drive to Arizona to show?
Definitely the warmth. I hate being cold.
So basically I was wanting to be a winter vacation and thought, why not take the six horse hitch to somewhere warm and show?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it.
You choked, you didn't do it.
Well, Enos. Yeah, Enos also talked me into it pretty hard, but I'm glad we came.
All right, so we got probably the two most financially important people of the Brockwood Belgians, Dale and Tracy Brockoff, and their daughter Sarah joining us here. Dale and Tracy, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your story and how you guys met, how you got interested in horse, and how you got started with Belgians, and how you finance the Belgians. Dale's, I mean, probably, I haven't seen all of his flooring jobs, but I'm assuming they're about as good as it gets. But go ahead.
Hi, I'm Tracy Brockoff, and I met Dale in 1985.
That's a good year.
Was it? You born that year? Oh, well, it was a good year. June 9th, some guy that I didn't like asked me to go ride horses, but I couldn't pass it up because I really liked his horse. I really didn't like him, but he could ride a horse, so I went for it. And we got married in 1988, been married ever since, and we wanted to have kids, but we weren't unable to have kids. So we thought, well, we're going to buy a farm and we're going to raise some horses and some Belgian horses, and that will be fine.
And we ended up
on a truck,
a farm, and a baby, all between May 5th and May 10th of 1988. Yeah, 97. We got married in 88. So,
that old?
You're not that old. So we decided that we always go to the farm show and watched everybody hitch, and there's a big window outside of the arena that you can stand at and look over. And we didn't know anybody, but we thought it looked like a lot of fun. And Dale said, you know, we should do that someday. And I said, yeah, I guess we could do that someday. I was a light horse rider and he was just a guy on a horse. So we decided that's what we were going to do. So when we decided that, we decided to buy a farm and just raise the Belgians. And like I said, we got Sarah, a farm, and a truck all the same week. We moved about 50 miles away from our family, which that was just terrible because we took the grandchild 50 miles away and they were never, ever, ever going to see her. But I was lucky. My mother-in-law and my mom watched Sarah for us, so she never had to go to the daycare center or anything. I work at Penn State New Kensington. I teach in the science department. I teach labs for anatomy, physiology, biology, chemistry, and I'm the demonstration equipment specialist for physics and chemistry. I will be there 36 years this year. I started very young. And I have the opportunity to retire, but I don't want to yet because then I will have to go work for a hardwood floor company full time. And I think I'll stick to teaching because I like my boss. When we were at the farm show, I guess when we got started, a lot of people helped us out. Jerry Ray and Shirley Ray, Kenny Sando, Roger and Linda Toms. We took all that knowledge that we got by attending a farm show and different events, and we decided that we were going to start our hitch. So that's kind of how we started out. And we wouldn't have been able to do it all if we didn't have my family and Dale's family to help us out. We recruited everybody that we could. But
how did you start? Like, what was the first horse?
First, so we had a couple farm horses that people told us not to hook because they would kill us. But we did it anyway, and we were fine. And we went to our first fair. It was the Butler County Fair, the Great Butler Fair. And we hitched two farm horses to a what we call the Pilgrim Wagon, which we still have. And we call it the Pilgrim Wagon because it looks like it came over on the Mayflower with pilgrims. It's now in our yard and I plant flowers in it, but it's all wooden, had a wooden braid, all wooden sides. And off to the fair we went. We didn't know how to braid. We didn't know how to put flowers in. We didn't know how to do tails, but we went to the show and everybody kind of put it all together. And we were on our way to the ring and one of our chains broke or rubber straps broke. And there was a man, many of you will know him. It was Sam Mathias's grandpap. And he looked at me and he said, "Lady, where's your parts bucket?" And I said, what parts bucket? And he goes, "Well, everybody has a parts bucket. Where's your parts bucket?" And I said, "I don't have one." And he goes, "Well, here, come on over here. I got a parts bucket." So I ran over to the trailer. We're about ready to go in class. And he put together a little thing for me. We buckled it up and off we went into the ring. So I have to thank Sam's grandpap for getting us to the ring that day. And that's where it all began. And we did county fairs for several years. And then we stepped up to the farm show. And then we started hitching with the bigger hitches and trying to make ourselves better and learn more.
So you started out with like just carts and team type thing. And then was there a transition like where it was a year with a four and then it moved to the six, or how did that go?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. We did the cart and team for a couple years and then we went to the four, and then Sarah started in the youth program, which is an awesome, super program in the draft horse world. There's lots of kids and lots of kids coming up, and we just, you know, embrace that to keep our industry going and to make our youth turn into really, really great people as they get older. It teaches them a lot. It teaches them leadership and how to build a better character and have confidence in themselves. And it also teaches them the responsibility of taking care of the horses and driving the horses. And ever since Sarah was four, she started driving a little pony named Joe. And from there, it just went on. And she did really well in the youth program. And then I drove ladies, Dale drove men's, and then Dale drove the unicorn, the four and the six. I just drove the cart. And then when Sarah got really better in the youth, she decided before she was 18 that she would switch over to the ladies. And then I got kicked out. So, but this year, I've end of last year and beginning of this year, I started driving a cart again. So that's pretty exciting. She's letting me. She even lets me use her horse Jet once in a while.
Yeah, when Sarah drives the cart, you hear Tracy yell. But I never heard you yell when Tracy drives the cart. So I think you need to return the favor a little bit. But anyway, Dale's a little bit probably like Logan. He doesn't talk much, or probably not. But let's get your, just tell a little bit about the flooring company you have and when you started, and hardwood floors, or what you do with the flooring company.
I'm a third generation of the wood flooring company of ours. My dad had a group of 20 guys. I decided when I took over, I wasn't going to have that many guys because that's too much of a headache. So I only run two crews now. And that's about it about the flooring.
When did you start?
Well, my pap started back in the 30s. My dad took over in the 60s.
And Uncle Pat.
And then my uncle was in the business too. He had a crew of guys. And then I took over in the 90s.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Early 90s.
That's it.
mostly hardwood floors. So you've been doing this a long time.
Since I've been about 12 years old.
Is that all you do is hardwood floors, or do you do the laminate?
I do any kind of wood floor. Anything. Laminate, any kind.
Because of the polyboard and stuff's getting a lot bigger.
Yeah, but I don't do much of that because I do the real thing.
Real hardwood.
Yep.
Red oak, white oak.
Yep.
Red oak, white oak.
Any special? Cherry.
Whatever. Yep. Recently had your knees replaced. I assume that's why you needed your knees replaced, probably.
I had both my knees replaced because I've been on my knees since I've been 12 years old. And the best thing I ever did was get them replaced.
Yeah, tell everybody to get their knees replaced.
Yep, you need your knees replaced, get them replaced.
Good deal.
Dad loves doing hardwood floors as much as I love driving horses. That's definitely his passion. He comes home from work, he's watching YouTube videos on how to get better and how to do this and how to do that. It drives me and Mom a little crazy sometimes.
You both do. You both drive me a little crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember watching Sarah, watching you grow up, like Tracy said, in the youth program. I remember judging a show in Pennsylvania one time. I believe it was the Grange County, the Grange Fair there. And I remember you were driving youth, and they have a ladies' four there as well. I'm not so sure that might not be the time you kicked Dale off the wagon and started driving the four.
Yeah, the amateur four.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember, no offense to you, Dale, I remember walking through the barns, and they weren't around. I told Sarah, make sure you tell Sarah you did a good job. I remember telling Kaylee after that, I think Sarah should just drive the horses, and I kind of took over from there because she did a great job. But you've grown just to be a tremendous driver, and I think everybody in this industry has just a ton of respect for you on how you get those horses drove. I know my dad loves to come to Shipshewana, and you're his favorite driver. I just love watching Sarah drive because those horses do whatever she tells her to do, and when she says whoa, they stop on a dime, and he's always impressed with you. But
the Smith family has been in the meat snack business since 1975. There are now four generations of Smiths working with Glenwood Snacks. Glenwood Beef Jerky is made with solid pieces of 100% premium beef and smoked with real wood smoke. Their jerky is in high protein, low in calories, and darn good to eat. Also, look out for new lines of meat sticks. Look for the Double S Belgians, the equine ambassadors of Glenwood Beef Jerky, at a show near you. Browse our many flavors of 100% beef jerky, signature meat sticks, and snack bundles at glenwoodsnacks.com. Follow on Facebook, Instagram, or by calling 208-624-9851. Orders over $50 ship for free. Glenwood Snacks.
You did some barrel racing too, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that and just your upbringing with the horses and when you got started.
So I always was in the barn. Still am. Mom tries to get me out of the barn all the time, but I go in the barn and I don't come up to the house at least till 1 o'clock pretty much every night because I just can't walk away. But I got my first pony when I was 2. His name was Joe. I started barrel racing on Joe when I was 4. Then I got more ponies, Candy, Brandy, and a heck of a lot more that I can't even name anymore. But Mom and Dad hauled me all over the country doing that until, I don't know, I was about 18 when I decided that I needed to pick one or the other to do. So I wasn't doing 2 and not to the best of my abilities with that. But yeah, I've been to Texas a few times at the Martha Josie Ranch and ran barrels there and did a few clinics there. And I learned a lot to help myself in the draft horse industry from the barrel horse industry because, like, I learned to think outside of the box compared to how some things like you see done in the draft horse industry. Then I kind of like thought about it in the barrel horse industry and then kind of like mixed it, I guess you could say. I mean, if you know me, you know I have an obsession with bits. The amount of bits that I have is like ungodly. But that's definitely the barrel racer coming out in me. But yeah, I
who helped you down there?
Yeah. So Gary, Arthur, and Martha Josie are probably the people that I look up to. I mean,
of course, I'll talk to other people too, but they're really who got me passionate about the horses and showing and pushing me to be the best I can be and to never give up. Because there was one time I was at a clinic and my horse was acting up, bucked me off. She was just having a heyday. And I got off and I was crying and throwing myself. And Gary said, well, are you going to give up or are you going to get back on? And I said, well, I want to give up. He's like, nope, you can't give up. And I was like, well, why? He said, oh, because I can just see in you that you're not that kind of person. I was like, ah, I don't know. Because I was all hurt and dusty and I was not well. And so anyway, I got back on. And ever since that day, I don't know, it's not just like a switch flipped in my brain. And I told myself I can do anything I can. If I put my mind to it, I can do it.
So talk a bit about, Sarah, the transition. Obviously, you grew up driving and everything else. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm gonna take over driving the six from dad. Just talk about that transition and how that all went down, how that all worked, whether it was your parents that said, okay, you're doing it, or whether it was you saying, dad, off, I'm doing it, or, you know, and just some of the challenges and experiences and how that all went.
So dad used to drive the six, and there was a couple of times that he was like, I'm done doing this. Like, I don't want to do this. This is hurts my back, hurts my knees. Yeah, that was when he had a real bad back and knees. And he said, like, I don't want to do it anymore. So he said, like, what do you want to do? And I was still deciding if I wanted to barrel race or do the draft horses. And when we started this endeavor, I do want to point out that I absolutely hated showing draft horses. And any time that I wanted that dad signed up for a show, I threw myself because I wanted to go to a barrel race. And that this is the stupidest thing that I was ever going to do. But obviously, look how that turned out. But no. So I started started at our local show, our Dayton Fair. I don't know. I think I was like 14 probably when I started there, because my dad was on the fair board and they didn't allow him to show since he was on the fair board. So either I drove or we weren't showing draft horses, but everybody at our local fair wanted to see our horses. So I decided that I could drive and it'd be fine. Then I started to kind of like it a little bit more. And then probably when I was about 17, I started driving the six. I would say that was probably when that all started.
Yeah. And you learn from a bunch of people, like Gary.
Yeah, like I remember the Miller boys helping you out. And I know Gary told me one time, you know, riding with you was about his easiest job. All he had to do was just tell you where the judge was. He just admitted it looked pretty easy, and you still do. Talk a little bit about some of the horses you've had that you've drove, Tracy, and, you know, kind of, or Dale even, kind of some of the horses you started off with and where you, you know, who you bought them from and how you transitioned to kind of the horses you have now.
Well, I'll start with the older ones and then I'll let Sarah talk about the newer ones. The older ones, we started out with Justin. He was, just the best horse to teach us everything. He had just enough gumption to not listen when he knew we were doing the wrong thing, because we were. And but he had enough smarts to help us learn. And we bought him along with another horse named Reggie. Reggie was a learning experience. I wished I had him now, when I understand the draft horses a little better. He was definitely a hitch horse, and we were still way just starting out little county fairs. So I wished I would have appreciated him more. And then we got my favorite horse we got from Ted English. His name was Justin, but I called him Jakey, and his pet name was Cubby.
And I still see Cubby just about every day.
So he had a name, but he had to change his name because he had a Justin.
Right.
And then you had a pet name
right,
for his name. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to clarify. It was before me. I believe it might have been when Dad maybe worked for Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when.
So he's still around. Chris Meyer has him now, and I get FaceTimed with him all the time, and Kaylee sends me pictures of him and lets me talk to him on FaceTime all the time, and he's still looking good and eating lots of treats. So, and I'm going to let Sarah tell you about the rest of the horses because she knows how it goes from there. I'll just chime in if I think of something.
So, Justin was a pretty special horse. Creekside Justin that Mom was telling you about. We got him from Kenny Sando. But probably my favorite horse I've ever drove was Jet. I called him Mr. Perfect. He's retired now at Shirley.
From Morrisville?
Yeah, from Morrisville.
Right.
So he's retired at Jerry and Shirley's now, living the best life he possibly can on about 30 acres of pasture, getting fed twice a day and spoiled rotten. So he retired about 2 years ago. But there was no horse ever that drove as much heart as that horse. And that's what made him special. And he would definitely pick, like, I was the only one when we first got him that could even touch him, let alone do anything with him. Ghost was another special horse that I think we've had that made a difference.
Where'd you get him again?
He came out of Topeka, that's right, uncatalogued, on Friday, on Halloween. And he was white, so that's why his name was Ghost.
Yep.
I had no idea what his real name was, so it was Ghost. I found out it was Mike later, but Ghost is a better name for him. Another good horse that I had was Cletus. He might have not been the most prettiest horse. He had the most ugliest head.
I was going to say, I remember Scott Seymour at Morrisville had Cletus. And I'm sure he came from Cletus Schwartz. That's what his name was, Cletus. But he had to put an extension on the bridle strap because his head was so big to get the bit where it properly would fit in his mouth.
Yeah,
we still have that bridle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is definitely a good horse. He was just always the same every day, and you could trust him to do anything. You could put a kid with him and not worry about it. He was just a good one. I don't know. It's hard for me to tell who my favorite one in the hitch now is, but
it is kind of funny too, not to change the subject or cut you off on continuing your story, but when we had the Morrisville kids on, and it was some of the older generation Morrisville kids that are still involved in the draft horse industry, and a bunch of them were like, that was their favorite horse was Cletus. Yeah. So it is kind of cool that, you know, I mean, one horse can make an imprint on so many people.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's the cool thing about it, right?
And then we retired him to a family up in our area near Bedford, PA. And he now just eats grass and is in the field and can come and go out of the barn as he wants to. And so he's leading also a
maybe they hook him one time. Good, like,
yeah, they might hook him to take some friends around one time or two times a year. And he's just happy to be there. So I'm a softy. I'll admit it. I see a kid that needs a horse and I have to retire a horse, I've been known to give them a horse. That's why my husband said we make no money in the draft horse industry. But I'd like to keep people interested. People like that just want a nice horse that isn't going to hurt them and I can trust them. I'd rather them go there. I don't ever want to sell one of our hitch horses at a sale. I want to find them retirement homes or I'll just keep them. So that's the way I feel about that. I mean, there's reasons for sales and I've bought a lot of horses at sale. So I'm not against sales. It's just when my boys retire, I like to find them a retirement home.
The current horses.
Current, yeah.
Yeah. What's the current horses you're driving right now? I know you've got an addition or two here. You brought the trip out west here. Just kind of talk a little bit about the horses you're driving right now.
So right now I have Willow Creek Jet in the left lead with Willow Creek Kodiak Cody in the right lead, and he's from Joe Miller. We just got him.
So those two would have actually sold together at the sale that when Gary had the Six of Freedoms at the sale in Gordyville of geldings, young geldings that they'd raised. And you bought Jet shortly after the sale. Yeah. I think you no sale, and you bought him after the sale. Mm-hmm. And then Kodiak went to Joe Miller's, and then roundabout, you got him.
Right.
So they're back together.
Right. Yep, they're back together. And then I have Willow Creek Lyle, which is Bob in the left swing. So I think I see a pattern of breeding good horses that I like. And then I have V.Y. Akers Sage in the right swing. I got him from Topeka last fall. Then I have Spring Hill Con in the left wheel. And yeah, we got him from Perkins. And we have Amish Twin Oaks Gross Feely in the right wheel.
Penwoods Equine Products is a family-owned and operated business that strives to support the growth, performance, and longevity of your equine family with our premium nutrition supplements. We make all of our products with locally sourced ingredients right here in the USA, so you can always be sure you're getting the highest quality. We've always been horse people. Our products were developed to take care of our own horses, and we continue to back our supplements with real-world horse owner experience. We're proud of the results, and we love sharing our generations of equine knowledge to help meet all of your horse's needs. We want to get to know you and your horses, and we're here to help with any questions you have. So reach out to us. You're part of the Penwoods family. You can visit us at penwoods.com, email us at info@penwoods.com, or follow us on social media.
How about him?
You've had him a while. He came in the sale from Hershey's, right? When the Hershey's sold their geldings out?
Yeah. He came out of Gordyville from the Hershey's, and they still want Snapchats of him all the time. But he's been a good horse for us, for sure. He is 14 this year.
Just happy and healthy as strong as.
Yeah, he's really been a good one for us. Just a rock solid horse.
Well, tell them a little bit how you guys travel. I know Dale, the big shot here, he flew flew down here, you know. But there's always seems you kind of have family around when you come to a show. And just talk a little bit about who all goes with you and how you make the whole thing work.
Well, sometimes that comes down to the last minute. So we try to have a plan, but that doesn't work. The Brockoffs sort of work on the motto, always ready, never prepared. It's the Boy Scout motto, but all backwards. We're always ready to go do something, but usually not prepared to do it. So we get our crap together, you know, fairly close to the day we're leaving. And I mean, Sarah does all the horse work and all that's done. It's the packing and the deciding who's driving, what time we're leaving. We always fight about what time we're leaving in the morning. Dale's an early riser. He likes to leave at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I like to go to bed at that time and then get up and leave like around 8 or 9, but I always lose. So I got to drive. I drive the truck and trailer with the living quarters and all the hay and the grain and the ranger to have at the shows. And we take our 4 dogs with us. We have 3 boxers and 1 French bulldog. They also come with us. And then in the semi, we have the 9 horses, Dale and Sarah.
and the wagon, the harness, the cart, and maybe a little bit more food. Whatever we can squeeze in, we squeeze in. So last year we got a new trailer, so that's making it a little nicer. It's a little bit longer than the old trailer that we had. And we, you know, keep everything safe and up as up to date as we can, and always pray for a safe travel down the road for us and for everybody else that is going to the show. And again, if I have the chance, my youth is too old now. So if we get the chance, we like to put, I always like to have a youth driver. I love to put them in and teach them and, you know, see what they can do with our horses. Our horses are good. So they listen to the youth driver. Sarah rides with them. And it just tickles me to see somebody go in there and win a ribbon and have a good time. It's the best. I still miss those days with Sarah, but I'm awful proud of her now. And what do you have to say, Dale? Nothing to say. Well, see, I kind of got wrangled into this driving to Arizona because Brian Lester was going to drive the truck and trailer for me. And we were going to have a driver for my truck and trailer, and I was just going to take it easy and enjoy the ride. Well, the other driver backed out, so I began the journey because Dale couldn't leave the hardwood floor business because he was too busy, and he flew down and met us a week later in Phoenix. And about halfway across New Mexico, I thought to myself, Enos, I'm just going to shoot you because there is nothing out here. I am driving forever. I don't have anybody else to drive, and I'm talking to a dog. And but I'm really glad I made the trip. I'm really glad I even drove the trip. It's been really cool to see the country. We've been to Florida before. We've been to Texas. We've been to Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, but I've never been out west even to visit. So it's pretty cool to have all your whole family, like all 9 horses and all your kid and your husband and friends and everything. And again, that is the coolest thing about this industry. There's nobody here that wouldn't help you. We're fierce competitors in the ring, but when we come out of the ring, we sit by a fire, sip a little lemonade, and we enjoy each other's company because everybody here loves to do the things we do. And it's hard work, and we all understand that. We all understand that what it takes to get into the ring is the same whether you're at the very top or if you're the last one leaving the class. And that can be changed on any given day. So, you know, you just never know how it's going to go. But the reason to be here is to be not just our family, but part of a whole draft horse family, which I think makes this really special. I've shown in many other areas of the horses, English, Western, games, barrel racing, but this is definitely the closest knit community, and it continues throughout the year. We don't just, when we do have a break, we still get together with some draft horse people and enjoy time together. So it doesn't have to be at a horse show. It can be other places, not often, but we're usually always at horse shows.
I always think that showing draft horses is basically vacation for people that love to work hard.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of like what, I mean, your family treats it as a little bit. I mean, you guys have, and it's kind of neat to see you guys. You've picked different shows across the country so that you can experience different things with each other. And I think that's really cool. Just maybe touch upon a few of your favorite events or favorite shows or your favorite memories of showing. We'll kind of go around the horn.
One of my favorite memories was when Sarah first started competing in the 6-horse classic. It was at the New York State Fair, and she pulled a third in that class. And Sarah doesn't show you very many emotions ever. You won't know if she's having a bad day. You won't know if she likes you. You won't know if she doesn't like you. So when she came out of the ring, and she was fine coming out of the ring, and then she looked at me, these big tears came rolling down her face. She had placed 3rd place in the classic series, and that was probably one of my most memorable moments. She did place 1st at Illinois and Wisconsin a couple years ago, and that was pretty cool, but nothing compared to that 3rd place the first time that she placed in the top 5 of the classic. And then, of course, all her, when she was little, she did obstacle courses and barrel racing on the horses and riding on the horses. She rode English. She rode saddle seat. She did all that kind of stuff. So all of those are memorable. With our first horse, Justin, that's where the memories, you know, that's what I think of. When I still see her driving this big six horse hitch through the gate, I still see that little girl come through the ring in her cart with her daddy. And in the ring they go. So that's one of my best memories. I like all the shows. So what's your favorite show?
Favorite show would be this one because it's nice and warm. I like to be cold. Harrison's the best show.
I don't know. My favorite show is probably Ohio State. I've always just liked Ohio State. I like the arena. I like, you know, the stalls. And I really like that everybody is there at that show. I just feel like most everybody goes to that show. You have all the breeds there. And Ron Mack does a heck of a job putting it all together in Chelsea. And I don't know. I just, that's probably always been my favorite show. I don't know. I think also it's memorable to me because that arena is the Quarter Horse Congress Arena. So, like, I always loved going and competing at the Congress, but then going and taking the six in there. I don't know. Maybe that was it too.
Yeah. Medal there in Quarter Horse Congress.
Yeah. So I just think that I just really like the, what was it, the
atmosphere.
Yeah. Atmosphere of that place. I don't know what my favorite memory would be.
Too many to mention.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a hard question.
How about when all the kids want to talk to you?
I do want to make mention of that. There is a pile of young girls in our industry that I think you've kind of paved the way for a little bit. I mean, there's been some successful women drivers out there, and a lot of women do a fantastic job, but just the way that you've broke through and done the big things that you have and the success that you've had as a female. And I mean, I'm not trying to find fault with any other women drivers, but there's a lot of women drivers that they can drive if the horses are really easy to drive, but that doesn't seem to deter you. I mean, it's like, let's go. And I mean, they can be getting right after it and you still sit there and get them drove just as good as I would say almost any man. And I think that's been a real testament to you guys, Dale and Tracy, for giving you those opportunities and for you for seizing those opportunities and just providing young women in our industry the motivation and just kind of breaking through for them. I think that's been huge.
Yeah, I do want to thank my mom and dad for giving me the opportunities that they have and everything in life. I have the best life. I get to show horses and travel across the country, and it's pretty awesome. Sand floors is the worst thing about it, but sometimes, like right before Gordyville, Dad always has to finish a job, and I'm always game right before Gordyville because I want to get that check, you know. but other than that, I get a little mean about it. No, it's not bad, but I do definitely like being in the barn, and he usually doesn't make me go to work too often.
When it's time to work.
Right. Just when he gets behind, because I have him trekking me across the country, you know, so there's that. But yeah, it is, you know, whenever, you know, I really like whenever the Wilson kids ride with me in the team, because they always get so excited, and that makes my day, you know, to have that. And I guess when I was growing up, I met a lot of mentors that I didn't think would ever give me the time of day to talk to me, like Martha Josie and Lance Graves, but they did. And that always stuck with me. So like, no matter what, no matter, I don't care if it's somebody that you don't know, like if they want to come ask you questions, or, you know, they tell you good job or whatever it is, like I always try to take the time out of my day to do that, because I remember that as a kid, you know, And I never want a little kid to feel, or anybody, but to feel as though I just push them off. You know what I mean? Because it does make an impact in a person's life on how you treat them. So I guess that is why I always try to, you know, treat everybody how I want to be treated.
Very well said. I want to congratulate Sarah. You've had our membership awards 3 years now, and 2 out of the 3 years you won Lady Driver of the Year for the Classic Series. So congratulations on that. Anything else you guys want to add? Anything you guys missed? Or Dale, you're got a lot to say, I'm sure. Yes. Anything? Well, we sure do appreciate you guys spending the time and talking with us and sharing your life story. And what you do is truly the backbone of the draft horse industry, as you guys know, hardworking families that, and not just hardworking families that show horses, but show successfully and get the job done. So I want to congratulate you guys for that. And I know it's not easy, and you guys spend a lot of time on the road, and you spend a lot of time on your knees, and Tracy, I want to say running her mouth in school and making it happen and serving on the,
can talk so much.
Yeah, serving on the youth, the Classic Series Youth Cart Committee. I want to appreciate you for that as well. I know you do a lot for that. So
spreading knowledge and stamping out ignorance. That's what you tell them.
So anything else you guys want to add here at the end?
Again, I'd just like to thank our families for always supporting us over this time. My mother-in-law, Eleanor and Dave Brockoff, my father-in-law, they would love to be here, but they're unfortunately they can't. And but Grandma knows Snapchat, so we got her Snapchatting, and I'm sure we'll be listening to the podcast. And my mom, Janice Blaskovich, which we call Noonie, she always supported Sarah from the very beginning also. So, and that's great. And a lot of our, what I call fans, they're friends now, but we, I guess they started out as fans, like Susan and Margie and Fran and just everybody. I know I'm leaving lots of names out, but I talk to those guys all the time, and we appreciate their support to coming to see us and Janet, everybody. So thank you. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to tell everybody about ourselves, Mark and Kyle.
All right. Well, thank you guys. And thanks for coming on.
Crystal Springs Stables, located in the heart of Amish country in Millersburg, Ohio. Specializing in stallion services, sales, and show fitting, a full line of equine repro equipment and supplies, reproduction seminars, equine reproduction services, including frozen semen collection and storage. Their stallion lineup this season includes Orndorff's Master Encore, Whispering Winds Cactus, Agristor's Diamond's Dream, Rossland Riley, Oakhaven's Illusion, and Dale's Stonecrest Bentley. Crystal Springs Stables, looking forward to partnering with you for success in the coming year. 330-231-2776. That's 330-231-2776. Contact Crystal Springs Stables for all your breeding needs.
Joining us is Chris Cole and the Penwoods Perspective. Chris, you have a new product on the market, Omega Boost. Can you explain to the listeners a little bit about the Omega Boost product?
Okay, so Omega Boost is a Omega 3 product. And if you're not familiar with Omega 3 products, Omega 3s are made up of three basic things, all which are, you can't pronounce them. So I'm going to use acronyms, okay?
Yeah, keep it simple.
So the acronyms are ALA, DHA, and EPA. If you think in the past, in the old days with parents and grandparents, they all wanted to use linseed or they wanted to use flax to get their omega-3s. Unfortunately, flax or linseed only have the ALA version of the omega-3s, and the two other versions are the ones that the horses really need a lot, which is the EPA version and the DHA version. So if you feed a fish oil kind of product, which this is, okay? And one of the things that people sort of shy away from that is they can't get horses to eat fish oil kind of products because of the aroma and the taste. But I think we've done a really good job disguising that, and it is a very palatable product. So by feeding the DHA and the EPA version, you get the following things. You get a good product that is an anti-inflammatory. So if you were going to use a steroid or you were going to use a dexamethasone product, this is a very good natural substitution for that. So horses with injuries, they have I had my horse out in pasture, and boy, he's got a limp when he came in, and he's got a bump on his leg. What do you think I should do? Well, this will be like Tylenol, Aleve for you, for your horse. So it's a very good anti-inflammatory. Now, the other place that I think that it will have a really good response is in the breeding and reproductive portion. So, for example, I have a client that had a horse last year that when they collected that horse, the semen count was down and the motility of the sperm was not up to the standards that they wanted to be at the ship. Okay, so 90 days before collection this year, the horse got started on the Omega Boost. And at that first collection where they're getting ready to ship in the middle of January, the sperm count and the motility of that horse in comparison to the data that they had last year at the same time was 100% higher. Okay, so I think there's a really good spot right there. Now, the second thing is they're doing right now a lot of research on human females that if you feed a really good omega-3 EPA DHA version, that it increases the progesterone level of human females. We're now trying this on equine females to see whether it will do the same thing. I can't answer that question. I don't know for sure whether it's going to work or not. If it does, I won't be here next year, guys. I'll still be in Florida. We'll have to do this by Zoom because it'll be such a successful product. I'll be able to stay in Florida the whole time. but it's a really good product.
So let's talk about the product. How does it, does it come in a bag?
It comes in a 5-pound bag. Okay. And the feeding, it's got a little scoop in it. So the feeding rate is if you were feeding it to a saddle or a driving horse, it would be scoop morning, scoop evening. If you're feeding it to a draft, it would be twice that much. So my client that used it for the 90 days, a 5-pound bag did that single horse for the 90-day period, and the horse was a draft horse. Okay, so the price is going to be not high, but when you figure out in relationship to what it does, I think it's going to be a pretty good deal.
So it's got multi-uses.
Oh, heck yeah.
Does it change the way the horse, like the energy level, the mannerisms? Stuff like that?
No, not really, because the rate's so low. Excuse me.
And you can feed it in conjunction with other minerals.
Right. It's not a standalone product. It's something that you would add on. So and if this gets out to people that were in the Midwest, okay, does it?
We're worldwide. 18 countries.
18 counties. Countries.
Oh,
18
or 20. You guys are awesome. Humble. So, humble. And humble,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, humble.
Okay, so they had a lot of that Canadian smoke through the Midwest last year, and there was a lot of respiratory issues. So my veterinary client out there was using that on her horses with respiratory issues. So instead of using clenbuterol and albuterol for the respiratory issues, she substituted this in instead and didn't have to use those pharmaceuticals. So anti-inflammatory in the lungs also. So say, for example, you had a horse that, I'm getting off track a little bit, but say you had a horse that had EMS. You guys know what EMS is? Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of the repercussions of EMS are, you know, founder, some laminitis. So I had a person that had a slight rotation in the right front foot on the coffin bone, and the horse was living on Butte and would still could barely get around. Okay. We used this product, and in about 10 days, the horse was off Butte and wasn't sound, but sound enough that you could barely notice that limp. So anti-inflammatory also. It's just a nice stuff. The thing that's always held this product back is because it's mostly a fish oil kind of thing, and the palatability was a big problem. It is for a lot of people. I just happen to have a really good associate that helped me develop a special flavoring into it that makes it just right on the money.
So anti-inflammatories often cause or has a chance of causing ulcers and, you know, some...
All those things.
You know...
All those things.
This here is no worries about that at all.
None at all.
All natural.
All natural. None at all. You don't get these terrible side effects of, like, and I got Gary Neberdahl sitting right beside me, and his brother's one of the best vets around, okay? But you don't get the side effects of those pharmaceuticals like dexamethasone, okay, where it does exactly what you want it to do until your horse has got laminitis.
Now, I've been shoeing horses all week, and my back's a little sore. Do I put some in my own coffee? Or?
You could if you wanted to. Don't use this product. It's a little gritty.
Okay. Okay. Just
buy the stuff over the counter.
Okay. But it is something that's been proven to work. Yeah. Like they sell it at a lot of pharmacies.
Oh, heck yeah.
Fish oil, if you can choke it
down. Well, that's, I'm telling you guys, that's the problem forever. And it doesn't matter whether it's horses or people. Right. It's a matter of finding some way to disguise it so that we as humans or your horses will consume it.
Right.
And I think we did a pretty good job.
All right. Thanks, hey, Chris.
That's awesome.
This quarter's Penwood's Perspective.
The Draft Horse Journal was first published in May 1964. From 28 pages in his first issue to now over 300, the journal has grown, evolved, and progressed right along with the draft horse trade. One of the premier magazines for advertising and for general looking, contact the Draft Horse Journal, 319-352-4046. Subscriptions at drafthorsejournal.com, advertising at drafthorsejournal.com, or editorial at drafthorsejournal.com. The Draft Horse Journal, the premier magazine in our draft horse industry.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Once again, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Any questions or feedback you might have, we would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and we'll see you down the road.